Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast, another Tactical Tuesday episode, and we were doing some keyword research to determine, you know, where do we go with this podcast? What other keywords can we hit that people are searching for? And one we kept stumbling across was dropshipping website examples or high ticket examples. And I thought back to 2014 before I had ever started my journey, and I thought the same thing. I would hear, you know, a guru or two maybe mention like a niche that they thought was good or a market, and then I'm like, well, what does that even look like? And of course, no one ever mentioned their websites back then. Most people still don't, and maybe that's a good thing, maybe it's not. But I wanted to see a website. I wanted to know what it looked like before I ever started, which is, you know, probably the wrong thing to do. I should have started and worried about it as I went along, but I really wanted to see one. So if you're one of those people, you're wanting to know, hey, where can I go look at a website? John and I are going to give you five of them today that we've had our hands on and give you something to go look at.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think you're right. Sometimes I think people can struggle with sort of getting their head around, like, what does one of these businesses actually look like? Because the notion of high ticket and all of that for a lot of people is a new thing, and you know, I think some people struggle to kind of believe that you can have a site just based on, you know, more expensive products. And of course, we know you absolutely can. And yeah, these examples, there's some interesting examples here. So let's jump into these.
Yeah, and a few we've talked about before. I don't know if we ever gave a link, so I'm going to put a link to each one of these five in the show notes, so you can go check them out. The first being one you'll definitely need a link for, unless you you want to go search for it yourself on the Wayback Machine. This is my first ever website, the3dprinterguy.com. I built and sold this business in less than a year. I sold it for 1 year's salary at the Walmart Distribution Center, one of the greatest days of my life. I sold it to a group of dudes who a couple months later had ran it into the ground, threatened to sue me, threatened to sue Empire Flippers, and Joe, is that the right name? Joe? I believe it's Joe. He basically told him to fuck off on the phone call and hung up on him. And I was like, that's badass, dude. That's nice talking to you. They were yelling for a little bit. Anyway, that's my first site, though. So if you want to go look at it, I think I did a pretty good job. I built it on Retina. I definitely made the image you land on way too big, so you don't see anything until you scroll for a mile. But I don't know. I think I did a pretty good job for my first website. But boy, would I love to go back and like do all the things. So you're going to see a progression on the three that I'm mentioning that I had my hands on as far as like, hey, Ben got a little bit better over time. This one, you know, this one, there's a lot of nostalgia there for me, but I think it could have been a lot better. That's for sure.
Would you do 3D printers again, Ben?
That's a great question. I think so. I know one of the, you know, how we've talked about distributors in the past, John, like don't work with a middleman, right? In that industry, it wasn't necessarily like a distributor. It was a company called Winit, W-Y-N-N-I-T. They're out of business too. But they were kind of like the go-to source where all the 3D printer companies would send their stuff and you had to work with Winit in order to ship it. And so like that three doodler pen, I sold a boatload of those $80 pens with like, I made $25 per pen, which is pretty good for a low ticket item. And I sold a ton of those and shipped them from Winit and a few other companies. I did well. Eventually I went direct with some of those companies and got better margins, but the companies outside of that, that took a little while to get a little longer to get on board. MakerBot, I believe was the biggest company, Airwolf as well. If those companies are still selling like they sold before and there's still very little competition, then I think I would. Like that Airwolf, I don't even know what they have. It's probably out of date by now, but their Airwolf Axiom 2 was $5,000. I made $1,000 every one I sold, and there wasn't really any competition. Like I, you know, worked really, really hard to get those guys on board, and I don't think anybody else had them on board. So yeah, I think I would, if the numbers still lined up, I think I would go back in there. And more so, you know me, John, do you care about this shit? I didn't know anything. People would call and leave a message and I would go to Google and Google their answer and then call them back. And then if they asked another question, I'd be, you know, up shit creek without a paddle, as my dad would say, because I didn't know anything. I didn't know what to talk about. I didn't even know how these things really worked. So I would encourage somebody, if they're an engineer, if they have a passion around this stuff, that would be the one to go in for them, I think.
Yeah, I'm just going to pull you up there. I'm pretty sure up shit creek without a paddle is an Australianism, mate. I know we've talked is about it? This and how you want to. I think it is. We say that over here all the time, man.
My dad would be so proud right now.
Yeah, good on your dad.
All right, so next up is John's first website, chicchandeliers.com.au. John's beautiful face, I believe, is still on that website. John, what can you tell us about Chic Chandeliers?
It is. Well, as you say, it was my first go at this, and it didn't look like this when I first started. It did go through a few iterations design-wise. I think to see the original, you'd probably have to check out Wayback Machine as well, but I think I don't even know if I've even got any screenshots of it anymore. But I sold this one in 2017, so that's quite a few years ago now. And the people who bought it have not changed it very much. They've changed a few things. But, yeah, I mean, this is a good example of a homewares-type high-ticket dropshipping site. It was my first go at it. It was, at the time, successful for me. I have no idea what or how it's doing now because I haven't been involved in it for, that's nearly 5 years, I guess. But my face is still on it, amazingly. I have no idea why they haven't taken my face off it, but if you go to the Our Story page on that site, you can see what I look like with long hair.
I'm trying to pull you up in Web Archive, but this is – Web Archive might be the slowest website on the internet, I think.
Oh, it's so slow. Yeah.
If you have more time than I have right now on this podcast, plug that into Wayback Machine too, and maybe you can see John's early version of that site. Next up would be my next business, actually. I had some partnerships mixed in here, so I'm not sure if it was the very next one or it was right along that time frame in late 2016 or mid 2016, somewhere around there. I started pelletgrillpros.com. That is still live. I sold it to a guy who sold it to another guy. I've actually been in talks with the gentleman who owns it to maybe take it back, maybe make that like a case study for this course. So I think he's a listener of this show. If you are and you want to get rid of that site, sir, send me an email. I'd love to talk about it. But the reason I went into that was my ex-wife's uncle was the national sales rep for one of the biggest brands in the industry. And so, and I think I've told this on the podcast before, if we went to his house, we ate off a Memphis grill. If we went to her parents' cabin, we ate off a Memphis grill. If we went to her brother's, he had a Memphis grill. And so I was surrounded by this, and I was like, this is an emerging market, and I wanted to get in there. And I think it was kind of more ran by Traeger back then, which they're not the greatest quality, but they have the biggest name. And anyway, I sold some stuff for sure. I would imagine it still makes money. I would imagine it does better than I did before, but that was kind of my next progression into building a website. It looks very similar to how it looked when I owned it, but man, again, if I only knew what I know now, I think there's a lot that could be done over there.
That is one ugly site, dude. That's all I've got to say.
Now, I'm pretty sure I made all those images too, and there's zero like artist in this human.
What I got to say though is that doesn't matter, right? I've got to say, like, I've seen some real ugly sites in the high ticket dropshipping space, like design wise, not necessarily content wise or anything like that, but design wise, that sell an absolute ton and make a lot of money. And design-wise, you're kind of like, meh, there's nothing really doing there. And I think it's great examples, just goes to show that design actually isn't the biggest thing when it comes to making sales. And a lot of people assume it is, but that's not actually the case.
You know how when you first start out, we've talked about putting reviews on sites. You kind of have to put a little social proof on a website before you have any social proof.
Yeah.
Funny story of this site. That is my friend Bo Brandt on the bottom. That is Corey's wife Teresa on the bottom, and that is my brother and his wife Jesse on the bottom right. And that's what I put on when I started this site, and it's still there. That's hilarious.
Yeah. I can remember in 2014 when I started Chic Chandeliers, I did the same thing. I got a bunch of people I knew, friends, family, just to write a review not about the products or anything, because I hadn't bought the products, right? Just about the business and say, yeah, this is cool business. I'd buy from these guys, blah, blah, blah.
Part is, like, I think at least two out of the three of those are actually true now. They definitely weren't when I put them on there, but they are now. So that's funny. Anyway, I'm pretty sure, again, I think the owner of this is a listener. If you want to get rid of this from your portfolio, sir, let us know. Maybe we could make this the Dropship Breakthrough demo store to show everybody. I think it'd be fun to be doing this one again.
Nice.
I just want to jump in here real quick and say, if you're loving this show, the number one thing you can do to help us right now is to smash that subscribe or follow button and leave us a review. It really does help us to grow this show and reach more people. And you can do it right now while you're listening. And also, if you've got a friend or two that you know should be listening to this show, make sure you share it with them or just send them to dropshippodcast.com. We'd love to have them join us as well. And real quick, I've got two additional dropshipping resources that we would love to share with you. The first is our free dropshipping Facebook group called the Dropship Tribe. It's all about high ticket dropshipping and you can learn a ton in there. All you need to do is jump onto Facebook and search the Dropship Tribe or go to facebook.com/groups/dropshiptribe and hit the join button. Now, if you're loving the Dropship Podcast and you want more, we actually have a members-only version of this show where we go even deeper into high-ticket dropshipping. We do question and answers with our members, website reviews, teardowns, and a whole bunch of other fun stuff. It's just $5 an episode, which is like a cup of coffee. And as a bonus, you get free access to our entire back catalogue of episodes when you join. So you can binge it without paying a cent. Just head over to patreon.com/dropshippodcast. And just as a note, you can find the links to both of those resources below in the show notes. Now let's dive back into the show.
Where do you want to go? You want to do my last one or let's do your second one.
Sure. So the second one here from John is thebetterbackyard.com. And yeah, once again, sort of outdoor products, sort of products that a lot of people think up when they're doing their niche selection. And I got to be honest, you know, it's not my favorite group of products. Same with the chic chandeliers, actually, not my favorite group of products either. But nevertheless, this is a good example of a store that if you're looking for one that has done 7 figures a month in revenue. So you're wondering what $1 million a month store looks like. This ugly store is $1 million a month in revenue at certain times of the year.
John, I could be mistaken here, but is this Shoptimized like your favorite theme?
It is, Ben. It is. It looks
glorious.
I am not involved in the design of this site. I'm involved with all of the marketing for it, but the design wise is not anything to do with me. And yes, it is not my favorite theme. And it's not even, once again, design-wise, I don't even think this is a great example of a site, but it still does very, very well.
But this is a great lesson for anyone listening. So I know when I started, I really wanted to see one because I assumed there were these amazing sites with great graphics and everything. No, they're not. And it doesn't matter, right? Like even some of the best converting websites on the internet don't look the way you think they should look. It's not about flashiness. It's not about like, it's not how you build the website, it's how you convey the message to the customer. And so, yeah, look, we can have a Shoptimized conversation or argument some other day, and maybe we already have on the Patreon. But take that to heart. Of all these websites you're looking at, none of them are that special. And yours doesn't need to be that special either for you to make sales.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's a good thing about this episode is, and the reason I like these five sites is that they're not the most amazing sites, and it doesn't have to be, and it never is that way. Like when you're first starting out, you don't have the most amazing site to begin with. You might not for years into your journey, but you can still be making money and being perfectly successful without that, which is great.
All right. And finally, a site mentioned on a recent Freedom Friday podcast with Brian Angel. Him and I were partners on this business. He started it and he brought me on as a partner and we've since parted ways. It is standingdesknation.com. And you'll see Brian's a little better designer than I am, as well as we got to do some cool stuff on here. So I use this site as an example a lot when I'm doing some one-on-one consulting, because I think we did a lot of stuff right in on the site. Very, 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 very busy niche, a lot of competition. $7 cost per click. Like we wouldn't recommend going in here, as we mentioned on the last episode. However, this is a wonderful looking site that's doing a lot right. And so I'm kind of proud to mention this one. I think Brian did a great job. I think him and I did a great job on a lot of the SEO stuff on here. And you can see for sure an evolution between, you know, the 3D printer guy, Ben, and Pellet Grill Pro Ben, and, you know, Standing Destination, what we were able to do over here. And again, a lot of kudos to Brian Angel.
I like a lot of things on this site too. And I think for anyone listening who's maybe a little bit more down the track and has a business up and running and wants to sort of check out what some of the SEO things we talk about look like in action, I mean, this is a good example. So, you know, like if you head to some of the collection pages, for example, on the site, like I'm looking at the old treadmill desks collection page, you know, I think it's a good example of how to do this stuff right, both from a customer's perspective, but also from an SEO perspective. So, yeah, if anyone here is already got their site up and running and they're looking to improve those things on their site, use, you know, look at that as an example of what you could or should do.
Oh, boom. There's five examples. If you wanted to go see a site, you can. And real quick, at the end of this episode, I've been refreshing the whole time we've been talking, John, hoping we cross the barrier as we're talking. We are 13 downloads shy of 10,000. So by the time this comes out on Tuesday, it's Sunday now in the United States when we're recording this, we will be over 10,000 downloads, including 1,100 in the last 7 days. We are really starting to take off. So thank you, each and every single one of you who are listening to this podcast. We'd love to have you in all of the other places. We put out YouTube videos. We have a Patreon as well. And we'd love to have you in the course, whatever we can do to continue providing you value, we want to continue doing. But thank you so much for, you know, taking 5-10 an hour depending on the show for us to, you know, be in your earbuds and hang out together. Thank you so much.
Yep, we appreciate you. It's amazing to come that far in the 5 short months we've been doing this, so thank you very much and keep listening in. We appreciate it.
See you guys. Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too. So we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.